Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is Martin Luther King holiday, and you know, I have a dream, and you know, I wish that dream would come true. I wish we would all just get along, and I wish we would all just understand that, you know, we are all people on this earth, and that there is no reason to have to be, you know, holding against anybody for any reason other than if they're a crook, or if they robbed you, or if they stole from you, or if they hurt you. But other than that, it shouldn't matter. And of course, unfortunately, we see the imbeciles still out there that for whatever reason are racist on one side or to the left right now that are still trying to destroy America because of Donald Trump as a president versus just saying, hey, okay, that's our president. Let's just make it work. And in 4 years, we can vote him out. But again, Dr. King brought a great dream, and some of it has been realized, but we have a long way to go. And hopefully, you know, I'm sure I won't see it in my lifetime, but hopefully in my kids or my grandchildren's lifetime, we will have the peace that we're looking for, because there's enough crap to deal with other than you have to make your own problems. And again, that really relates today to the Democrats, not to pick on the Democrats, but right now these assholes that continue to try to degrade and get Trump removed from presidency before he even got there is just stupid. And quite frankly, I wish it all get the hell out. And as I said once before, I'd help them move, and I'd even help finance them as much money. They don't need my money because I'll make a hell of a lot, but get them out of here. They don't want to be here. Get the out. Anyways, so markets continue to move themselves, you know, towards the upward direction. We're really in a pretty much of a consolidation pattern. And of course today markets are closed, but at the end of the day, all right, some very interesting things I think that we're looking at. And the biggest thing, though, is the air or the stench of complacency that is growing even stronger and stronger in the overall markets. And that is referring to actual price movement and volatility. We are now in the longest period of time with the lowest amount of volatility in history. And what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything today. But again, we know that complacency is, as I use in the quote, complacency is the architecture of our downfall. And that is always the case, whether it be at war or whether it be at peace. When you become too complacent, bad things are bound to happen. Because the minute you take your guard down, usually is when you get cracked in the head. And that's why we never want to be overly complacent. I think that is one thing that we are seeing now is a market that is way too complacent. No reason that we can ever go down again. We might get the Dow 1 billion. You know, again, obviously overstating the easy, simple fact. But at the end of the day, we have to be protective. And I think that is where we make mistakes. And this is why markets do what they do. And this is why a lot of you end up panicking out. And if you remember the movie Rocky, you know, the eye of the tiger, you know, you have to be on edge. As good as things are going, you have to always be prepared for what could happen. And that's, I think, where many of us make a mistake, is not being prepared, because, again, it's easy to say today, oh, yeah, the markets are going to keep going up. They're never going to go down. There's no reason for them to go down. And just when you think it was safe to jump in the water, the Jaws comes and gets you. And that's, so again, this is something that is important that to understand, that overall too much complacency is not good. It feels better because you don't have to worry, but a little bit of worry is good for everybody. Again, I'm not telling you to stay up at night. I'm just saying, hey, you know, be ready to be defensive, because you never know when somebody's going to drop the bomb on you, All right. And, you know, I think we take a look at the markets and we go, wow. All right. The markets are at, you know, all time highs or close to it. And what is the purpose and the reason for them being here? And in actuality, they have no legitimate reason. I mean, now they're first they were betting on the cheap money, and now they're betting on Trump. Okay, but with Trump in the office, okay, can he get done all the things that he's promising? You know, I personally believe that he will make his effort to get everything done, but I also have a pretty strong opinion that even though he wants to get them done, a lot of things will not be able to get done because even his own party will not vote for things that he wants. And why is that? Well, because he's going to want, they're going to want, they don't want to lose votes. So again, we've priced in more than perfection. Okay. And what that means is the valuation of the markets are priced for a dramatic rise in growth, which there is no way we are getting it in the next 6 to 8 to 9 months or 12 months. Zero chance, because we have not even started yet. So how are we going to get it if we haven't started? Okay. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that there is no chance that all of these things get approved. So that takes away part of the promise. The third thing is we'll see how, and again, I'm hoping that the bank regulations get lifted. I'm hoping that he gets to do what he wants to do there, because I do believe that it's extremely important for the small guy. And as you know, I'm a big advocate for the small guy. And what that means is that if they can lift some of these stupid banking regulations and allow the average guy to borrow money again, what we're going to really see is hiring, new help, new businesses, new hope. And that, my friends, is what we need. So that to me, between the tax cut that he is proposing and the banking regulations, to me, those are the two most important things. Now, there's a lot of other things that are very, very important. But to get started, those are the two things that will help him and help the United States of America achieve those goals. The rest will take a lot more time. Again, the rest is going to be very tenuous because, again, it comes down to votes. It comes down to not their votes. It comes down to who you're going to vote for in the next election. If your congressman does something or your senator does something that you didn't like, you know, if they change Social Security and you're on Social Security, you're not going to be happy. So you're not going to vote for them. But of course, they're too dumb to figure out that all you had to do is just change the starting age and work from there. But of course, I don't know. I guess their ridiculous way of thinking about the economy is dumb anyways. And of course, anybody who would continue to borrow money and pass it on to the taxpayer trying to take our money, which is what they're doing, by the way. And if you don't think so, remember the hidden tax of inflation. And why is it a hidden tax? Because everything you own gets taxed at a higher rate because the prices are inflating. All right. So, you know, again, don't kid yourself. Remember, government is not the solution. Government is the problem. They are trying to continue to live their lifestyles with no regard to what your lifestyle is. They don't give a crap about you, okay, as a general rule. There is a bunch out there that do. Again, I don't want to be totally general. And I do honestly believe that Donald Trump has everybody's best interest at heart, because I think that he wants to go down as the man who changed the course of the United States of America, and we'll see how that plays out. But overall, I believe that most are just trying to get into your pockets and my pockets, and that, my friends, pisses me off. And that's why we need to make these adjustments and why changes need to be made. But this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and when you miss me, oh, and you should always miss me, LibertyTalk.fm, not only can you download The Bubba Show every day and The Sporting Edge on the weekends, but we have so much dramatic content on there for you every single day, 24-hour-a-day programming. Make sure you check it out, LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz is going to stop our break, and I will be right back after break with Jane King. By the next week, The Bubba Show. Bye-bye.
All right, boys, follow me, mostly in A.
Welcome Welcome back to the Jane King Show. I mean, the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Jane King. Brings good things to life. And, of course, Lila Max Media. You got to check her out. She's on, I don't know, all over the world. 9,000 outlets for her. And, of course, she also writes the Ka-Ching Report, which is also a great thing to read. Jane, what do you say?
Oh, just all the action has been in Washington this week. So that's been another very entertaining thing to watch. Of course, we did have that press conference. Donald Trump press conference this week, and that was quite entertaining, too.
What did you think about that? You know, it's interesting. You know, now we've never had a president who's, you know, quite the showman that Donald Trump is and continues to go out there and beat the drum. But also, he don't think about it. He just lets it fly. And, of course, sometimes it can help you. Sometimes it can hurt you. What do you think of all that?
Well, I was doing an interview at the New York Stock Exchange at 11, so that's when it started. So I missed the first part of it, but I did make it in time to see the CNN altercation, and that was entertaining. I was watching that. I was like, he is going to sweep out of that podium and strangle this reporter. I was like, oh, my God, this is getting really awkward and uncomfortable. It's a brand new world out there for media, and I wouldn't quite go as far as he does, but I think that he's calling out the media on some things that they've been doing for a long, long time that the public doesn't always realize. I mean, the public hear and listen, and they think, okay, well, this has been researched and vetted, and it's surprising how much of this stuff gets out there that really isn't researched very well at all.
So let me ask you a question. You're a journalist. You're a media person. Who in that situation, because obviously if you listen to one station, one side, Trump was at fault and a bad guy. And if you listen to the other side, the reporter was a bad. You're a journalist and you're pretty neutral. Who was right? Who was wrong there? Or is there, what am I missing? Or what would be your best explanation?
Well, I think something like that, those allegations that unless you have, I mean, more than just, yeah, he was briefed on it, but actual multiple sources. I mean, I understand they had one guy, but there was a question about his, and he's in hiding now or something. I mean, this situation with Trump and the emotion involving him and the, you know, uncertainty and kind of murkiness of what's going on in Russia, I don't think that it should have been published. They needed more to go on that and more people on the record. And so, I mean, I felt like it was just kind of put out there to get clicks and to embarrass him. And that's not a reason to publish a story.
And you know, I, one of the things that really bothers me, you know, I'm really starting to get angry now. You know, obviously you saw the Golden Globes with Meryl Streep said, and you know, she makes it like they're poor and destitute and really in trouble. And of course she makes $22 million a film. But this whole negative campaign, Rosie O'Donnell wants martial law until they, you know, figure it out. I mean, can we really just, can't we just move on and try to make America better? I mean, are we not Americans first before we are Republicans or Democrats?
Well, here's what I want to know from these people. What is your goal? Is your goal to get him out of the presidency? Because that's unrealistic and not going to happen. I mean, is your goal to unify America and make this a better country? And then we can all work together and grow together and solve problems together, because that's not happening either. And I just feel like all this is so immature and it's so non-constructive, and it's just, it's a waste of time and energy and worry. I mean, it just wears you down. And I wish they'd just stop and come up with some positive solutions instead of just talking and talking and talking. And I mean, all they're doing is showing, it's just reinforcing why he was elected. I mean, Meryl Streep, we're all going to watch football and martial arts. I mean, come on. I mean, some people actually, in fact, a lot of people actually like that stuff. So extremely out of touch. And, you know, I just, I'm almost given up on like anybody 50 plus. Like, I just feel like they're just too far gone and too entrenched in their ways to really make any changes. So my hopes for the younger generation. Let's see if we can make it happen.
Where's my football when I need it? I'm going crazy without football during the week at night. I mean, I got nothing to do. But okay,
it's ridiculous. People love football.
It's so silly. I can't take it, and yeah. It doesn't make me. It makes me very angry, actually. I mean, you know, I just want to move forward, right? I mean, that's all we all want. We want the country to be better, and the only way to get better is if you don't like them, great. It doesn't matter. Just work together and get it done, because at the end of the day, it is what it is, and nothing's going to change that. And this is where I think the media really gets involved on the wrong side, because they continue to kind of stir that pot. You know, they're kind of like, they've kind of replaced, you know, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when they're out there winding up the, you know, the poor guys and out in their group starting to wind up people and creating almost trouble and violence. And I think that's the wrong message you sent to everybody. I think that teaches you nothing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when the American public starts just shutting that down and stop engaging, that is when the media will stop it, because it's all driven by money. I mean, it's driven by clicks. It's driven by engagement online. It's driven by viewership. And, you know, I know, I've been in these meetings. They're all sitting around in the morning. What are we talking about? Well, you know, everybody's going to love that and comment on this and share that and like this. And so, you know, we have to just rein in our emotions a little bit. Everybody's going a little bit nuts. I mean, it's crazy. We need some, like, level-headedness and common sense. I know that's not sexy and exciting, but that's the best thing for the country, is to get somebody in there with some kind of good judgment.
Emma, you're 100% correct. As always, that's why you're the Jane King. That's why the king. So let me ask you this. Now, you know, obviously we all saw that Facebook ridiculous beating of the, you know, poor handicapped child or teenager. Why is that allowed to be up? Why is it allowed to be now? And I know it's a news item, but it shouldn't be. And I'm always, my opinion is things like that create more things like that when you continue to lead them on the media and let them roll. What do you, am I right or wrong? You're more of a media person than
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, something like that, it brings up a lot of stuff. I mean, first of all, what's Facebook going to do about this? I mean, they've given people the power to broadcast live. There was a girl who committed suicide live on Facebook. I mean, what Facebook, I mean, what are they going to do about this? That can't happen. I mean, that's just total degradation of society. So I think Facebook's going to have to address this. Second of all, I think, you know, what it shows is a couple of things is, I mean, just how toxic race is. And it gets worse. I mean, just when I think, okay, we've hit bottom, everybody's going to like reach a common sense here soon. No, it gets worse. Something more crazy and outrageous comes out. And so, you know, I think as long as we are so emotional about race in this country, we're going to have a hard time solving problems. I mean, like, I look at the things that Trump has done. I mean, he said a couple things that maybe to some could be construed as somewhat racist, but he's also, you know, kept some jobs here and established some relationships, and the stock market's been higher based on real optimism, not just Fed manipulation. And they can't seem to look at the whole picture of what's going on. So I'm shocked. I'm shocked at how shallow the public is right now. And I wish we'd move on. And maybe if the economy improves, we can move on behind this racial thing and get this behind us, because it's really, really poisoning our society.
And I guess the next question is, will the economy improve? Is he going to be able to get things done that he wants to get done?
I think so. I mean, maybe not, you know, maybe not capital gains down to 15% or corporate taxes down to 15%, but maybe it gets down to 18 or 20. I think we're going to start to see a whole new leg of growth here based on some long needed infrastructure changes in the tax code and in regulation.
All right. Give me a quick, like 30, 45 second update on your podcasting for kids.
Okay. So we just released a new one with Jolene Godfrey. She is an author and has all kinds of like really practical advice for parents about allowances and in particular how to structure that to make sure that you're actually teaching kids about money and then giving them some kind of reward. And we also talked with Ellen Pollack. She is a former editor of Bloomberg Businessweek about fake news and how there's a parallel to just using good judgment and being healthy skepticism about the world around you, judging news, how to spend money, and things like that. So, and we're going to be talking to the New York Times financial writer later this month. So we got a lot of exciting stuff coming up.
It's very exciting, but it's more exciting to have you on the Jane King Show. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba, Jane King. Thank you so much. I appreciate having you on, as always.
Thanks, Todd. Always good.
That's our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, as we said. And of course, you got to check her out. She's really special and really does a great job. And on outlets, I think it's actually 140 or whatever it is, a lot. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of every show every week, including the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And it's time for The Bubba Show's expert, the master, the chartist, the technician, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What do you say there, Matt?
I'm doing good. How about you, Todd?
I'm doing good. So, you know, I thought if we take a look back at last week's action, I thought it was interesting, to say the least. But I think one of the things that, you know, I think is going to make the year better, and I know that, you know, you and I haven't talked about this yet, but is the tweeting Trumper, because, you know, his news now is real. You know, I'm a big guy who's against trying to trade news, right? Because I believe that news is by the time I get it, I figure I'm the 1 millionth person, right?
Right.
But now, I mean, he could tweet in real live time. And of course, he did something on Wednesday, which actually bashed, you know, Big Pharma a little bit. And I know that's one of the areas you like to cover. And of course, a lot of the Big Pharmas got creamed off of his news. And one of the stocks you're following, XBI, got waxed a little bit. But by the end of the week, came charging right back again. What's your thoughts of all that?
Yeah, I don't know. It was interesting. We'll see how many more of these Twitter bombs we get. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if he can actually affect the charts, because XBI fell, on Wednesday. Then it rallied right back on Thursday and Friday. And that made sense to me, because I'm targeting around 60, high 67, 68 as my, you know, minimum upside. And the chart doesn't really want to be denied. So we bounced right back up again. So it will be interesting if he is let's say we were already at high 67, 68. We're at a target level in the charts, and then he comes out with a tweet that knocks things down. Then that would be a little more interesting. Then the chart would, you know, be, he would be in sync with that.
I mean, for a guy like you, from a technician standpoint, I mean, you had to be loving that tweet, because you wanted to be a buyer of it anyways, and it actually just brought it back down to a level that made you more comfortable even buying some more, right? I mean, that's kind of what you look at. I mean, that's what I look at. You know, I'm a big fan of violent moves one way or the other, because if I want to get short, I mean, the truth of the matter is I'd like to get short, but I'd love to see like a spike high in the markets in general. But a stock like XBI, I mean, I'd love to see a spike high right to your level, and then see it come. I mean, that would help fill, and actually, I think it makes either the buying or selling, depending on which way it's going, even better. I mean, I thought the buying opportunity that it created on Wednesday, right for your level, was perfect, because now it pushes it back up, and I think it gives it enough oomph to get past and probably hit your target. I mean, we're only, about 1.5% away from your top target anyways now.
Yeah, it's not too far away. So, yeah, no, I mean, I like violent markets as well. I like markets where, you know, typically, you know, very violent moves tend to respect chart. It's strange, but they tend to respect chart patterns that much more. And they really work out well. As far as the broader market, if we, you know, look, if we continue to push up here the way they are, and if we just grind higher, I'm still not seeing, you know, final highs reached yet in the three major U.S. indices. I think that Russell 2000 has a good shot that it already peaked. But if we keep grinding higher, I mean, you know, we are going to have violent reversals to the downside because, you know, as it is now, the Dow is about 400 points above its, you know, monthly Bollinger Band. It's really not been able to, you know, push much more. But if it does, that'll be historically unprecedented. We're already at a level where, on a percentage basis, we're beyond that monthly Bollinger Band by, you know, roughly, you know, the record amount. So we go any further, it's just going to be stretched that much, you know.
No, I'm with you. Look, I'm a seller. Okay, I mean, I'm not gonna. I would never recommend. I don't create panic. I'm not fearful. I'm just saying that from a pure probability standpoint, that the markets are going to get a sell off here at some point, and these guys are calling for $30,000. I mean, look, we'll get there someday. I just don't think that this is the time. I think I read a statistic, and let me know what you think of this because you follow this stuff. This was the. So far, like the last 30 days have been the quietest volatility for a consistent 30-day period that we've ever had in history. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't know that statistic, but that's, you know, we can see it on the chart, right? With the, you know, the VIX just, you know, meandering at these low levels around 11s. Volatility is just way too low. The banks are, you know, been buying more this past week. They bought about 10,000 contracts long. So, you know, they're loading up. The options market makers are predicting higher volatility as well in their European VIX options. So, yeah, I mean, this is just very odd that we've had volatility this low for this long, not just the 30 days, but, you know, the past year. Really.
Well, see, now, you know, I go back to 2004 and this is a similar action we had in 2004 or 5, all right? I mean, it was I will tell you truthfully that, you know, I had a partner that I had a partner that was in we were in the same room. We, you know, that was when we were coming off the floor and trading in offices, and we looked at each other like, well, what are we going to do for a living now? There's no volatility. There's no movement. I mean, back then, the S&P, you know, we'd have a standard deviation some days of 3 points in the S&P. Now, 3 points is like a burp, right? And so it's just interesting, and I think that this is things that tie in. Now, this ties into your work as well as part of the footprint, right? Because these charts start to compress, and they're going to make a move one way or the other. And my guess is that volatility is not going to break much lower. I mean, we're within, I think, 10% or 12% of the all-time low, which was actually in 2004.
Yeah. I think we need to bounce up, of course, in the VIX. And then I'm not sure that this personally, I don't think we're at the very bottom. In terms of price, we could be in terms of the VIX price. But when I'm looking, I like to look at VXX, which is the ETF for volatility, and it decays over time. And what I'm looking for is a final target low around 14. And right now we're still in the 20s. So it doesn't mean we can't, you know, rally up first. I think we, you know, we should. And then we get a little pop in the VIX. And we might go back up to, you know, 14, 15. Are we going to go up to 20, 30, 40? That I'm not so sure about just yet.
So let me ask you this question about the VXX. It is, you know, it's one of the products that I warn investors to never buy as an investor because it's a crooked product, in my opinion. And it does decay like a big option. Now, when you're charting that, your target is 14. I mean, I believe the all-time high split adjusted on the VIX is like 106,000, okay? Now, does that come into your thinking at all? I mean, because it's going to reverse split again. Once it gets low enough, it's going to reverse split and change. So what does that mean to you? What does that do to a technician, and how do you read that?
No, I think it's an incredible opportunity to get short VXX. I don't mean today, but I mean, you know, if you think about its like its history, yeah, 106,000, it just constantly loses. So if you could get in at a level where you didn't have to worry about a spike in your face, where you would lose, you know, where you could – it could spike 100, 200, 300% in your face early on, then you could do great. Then you could just short it and, you know, over time, it would work in your favor continuously. So what I'm looking to do is we're not going to get long necessarily at 14. We might, but what we're looking to do is get short at our target high, which I'm not going to disclose. That's just for subscribers, but you know, it's quite a bit higher than 14. So at that point, I want to when I feel that the sell off in the stock market's over, and we're about to begin rallying again, and volatility has peaked, then we're going to short VXX, and you know, just let it go, because that kind of decay can work for you. Great.
Oh, it's great. I guarantee you that someday it'll come out that either the owners of these funds and some of the big cheese investors that have a lot of capital that can absorb hits like that have been doing nothing but shorting these things anyways. I mean, because if you look at the whole leverage scope of all these leverage ETFs, basically, because they work on a multiplier, you know, it's harder to get them to move, especially as they start to head down. They go down fast and they slow down. But then to get them to return to go back up, it takes a much bigger move. And I think we're going to find out someday just how bad these things really are for investors. And that's always a problem. But so you think last week we talked, you thought that the NASDAQ could still go a little bit higher. What's your thinking this week?
Right. I still see it the same way. The NASDAQ, of the indices, it has the most to go. I mean, it broke, you know, it was a judgment call back in November. Did we break? Did it break its bearish pattern? Did it not? And it did. And now we have to go up to the next one. And the next one takes us almost up to 6,000. Not quite 6,000. But that's where I'm targeting a major top in NASDAQ. And so that's about another 8%, 7% left.
Now, what do you use as your guide to the NASDAQ? I mean, there's a couple of different ways to do it. It's the NASDAQ future, the NDX, or the composite. What do you use as your baseline?
Well, I look at all of them, but because, you know, the NASDAQ composite is sort of the headline index, that's the one I'm referring to here.
Okay, well, yeah, because obviously there are different numbers. I mean, so, you know, like the future is at 50-60. And I think the composite, I forgot where it was, but wherever it is, it's higher than that. And the NDX, so there's a whole bunch of things that you have to look at here. And so I just want to make sure that the listeners know what number we're referring to so that we get it. So this is, of course, the Bubba Show. And, of course, this is our expert, Matt Demeter, certified master market technician, not master. We are a master market technician. And, of course, he does once a week, comes on and gives us the reading. Has been unbelievably hot and on target for as long as he's been coming on the show. So make sure you check out DemeterResearch.com. Also, you got to go to LibertyTalk.fm to download the show every single day. Again, as we make our push to get 1 million downloads a month, we're depending on you. Check out BubbaTrading.com, and we're going to stop out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more from Matt Demeter, the DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show, Top Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back. Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show experts, chartered market certified market technician, CMT, and of course, comes by every week and gives us his read on the overall markets. And so, Matt, we kind of jump by a lot of stuff we'd like to get through, but give us a quick rundown of, we know you love the Euro Stoxx 50 and a couple of others. What's your read across the board and just the general indexes?
Well, across the board, you know, if we're talking about global, I think, you know, we're very close to peaks. Euro Stoxx 50 has already hit my target high. And that was about, we said it was about 33.30. We got to 33.34. So, and then we backed off. So it's that should be done. Then, you know, if you look at Nikkei hasn't quite reached our, you know, target high. We're looking around 20,000. But, you know, just across the board, just about everything has peaked. With the exception of the U.S., we still have, you know, target highs that are, you know, about 3 or 4% higher in the S&P and Dow, and then, you know, about say 7 or 8% in Nasdaq. So looks like across the board we're peaking out. Just a question of, you know, that doesn't mean we need to plummet right away. It just means that the upside is severely limited.
No, I mean, I go like it by this, you know, personally, as a investor, I'm willing to buy a stock at any time because the individual stock maybe one that looks extremely good, and maybe it's at a value, and whether the markets go up or down. I mean, you know, if we go back to 2008, Amazon in November, the bottom of the market at that time in 2008 was $30 a share. And by the time the markets actually bottomed in March, Amazon already went back to 60. So again, if you, and I think this is important, I want you to relay this message if you agree, that, you know, the individual chart patterns are more important than, yes, it's nice to have a market going up if you're long, the general markets, but it's not a necessity for you to buy an individual issue.
It's not the individual stocks and the indices can definitely, you know, move in totally opposite directions. I agree with that. And like if you have a chart pattern that's bullish for Amazon, for example, you just follow whatever it tells you and don't pay attention to the broader market. It might be slower to move to the upside if you have a, you know, if it's swimming against the tide, so to speak, with the market falling. But yeah, I wouldn't wait on any individual opportunity based upon the market's gonna, the broader market's gonna fall.
Right, and I get that.
Unless it's a hardcore component like, I don't know, IBM or, you know, I'm not sure. Like, there's gonna be bigger stocks that move, you know, they're correlated highly with the index.
No, I understand that, but let me ask you this question. You brought that up as a good point, but IBM has actually absolutely got clobbered while the markets have been going basically straight up. So, I mean, IBM has participated recently, but IBM is well off an all-time high, and yet here we are, and that used to be one of the most correlated stocks. And as we were making new highs every week, the financials, until Trump got elected, were not participating. So again, I think it comes back down to what you read in the individual issue. Yes, as they say, a rising tide will lift all boats, but it'll help. But if something looks pretty good, people are going to put their money somewhere, and usually they'll put it somewhere that looks good, that a guy like Matt Demeter says, hey, this is pretty good looking down here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of individual names that I like. I haven't looked at IBM for a while, but I do think it came close to a pretty major target low. I think it was about a year ago now, but I haven't been looking at it lately. I'm kind of interested in what they're doing with Watson. I know it's only a small percentage of what they do, but it could turn out to be a very big one. I think AI is going to be very interesting. I'm interested in a lot of tech and biotech issues. You know, there's the genomic stuff, like Illumina is a company that I really like. I think they have a really bright future. The chart pattern says they haven't quite bottomed yet, though, so I'm waiting on that one. They had a nice spike up to target resistance last week, and that was on the announcement that they were releasing a new sequencer that was only going to cost eventually $100 per human genome, which is amazing, but it will take a few years. So there's a lot of you know, tech and biotech stuff that I like. That it's sort of on its own path. It's, you know, moving away from the indices.
All right. So let's go into something that we really need to know, because it's killing me. But the livestock markets now, the cattle markets. Had a little bit of selling pressure last week, but we're able to charge back again late in the week. And I know that we were bullish, and then we were looking for a little bit of a pullback to be bullish again. Are you still looking for that pullback, or where do we stand in the cattle markets?
Yeah, we've been bearish, but not positioned short. So we've been, you know, neutral for the past few weeks. Now I think it's time to take a shot on the short side. Hogs in particular hit. Both in futures and my spot chart, they hit target resistance. So at this point, we're going to try a short in hogs. And it's a very clean pattern. So if we move just a little bit higher, so if we take out the January 3rd high, if we go above that, then the pattern will break and we can go another $10 to the upside in hogs. So we'd actually go short here, and then we'd actually reverse and go long if we break above January 3rd's high.
Okay. And, of course, the grains, soybeans came down and screwed around that $10 level, and now they've exploded back up and actually rallied about 5% last week. And I know that you've been basically bearish the beans. What's your take? Is that still in play, or has anything changed?
Nothing's really changed. I think, you know, it certainly has room to the upside, has an unfulfilled target resistance level that it's trying to get to that it hasn't touched yet. And it also has an unfulfilled target support. So it's not quite halfway in between. It's a little bit closer to the top. So I'm not touch right now. We're not touching it because I can't, you know, get a good risk reward setup going yet.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because investors and listeners, if you don't have a good target, if you don't have a good reason to get in, then you might as well wait. It's the game is more about patience and being able to sit and wait for the right level that you're looking for than trying to get there early, because when you get there early, typically you have to leave early and then you'll miss the move. Do we still like wheat here? Is that still a play?
Yeah, I think wheat longer term is, you know, looks pretty bullish. I think it possibly bottomed on a long term basis, whenever that was, back in September of last year, I think. Right now, though, like the immediate term, it looks a little bit overbought. It looks like it could be ready to, pull back a little bit. So I think you'll get a little bit better buy point in the next week or two.
No, I could agree with that as well. I mean, actually, if I look at it myself, I go corn 365, and I know you're bearish on corn. I think beans now back to 1065. Which was the old high that we had recently. And, of course, wheat was 425 to 430, so that's where we're at. So, yeah, I could see all those things occurring. Now, of course, the dollar seems to have really started to fall. And I think it looks like it's headed back to par, and then I think probably lower than that. But I know you have a better read on that. So what's your look on the dollar?
I think so. I think it's going back down to the mid to low 90s. But I don't think it's a very short-term pattern in the euro, which suggests that the euro is kind of going to tread water here for a while, or maybe go a little bit lower. It's not going to necessarily make lower lows, but I don't see the euro, you know, just jumping to the upside just yet. So therefore, I can't see the dollar moving much lower in the short term.
All right.
Give it a couple weeks, then I think we're headed right back down again below par and into the 90s.
You got 20 seconds. Give us a quick recap on gold and silver. You almost neglected those two beautiful things.
Well, they still look relatively bullish. They've already had relatively good runs, but I think there's still some more upside. And the final lows are not in, but they still look bullish from right now. We're still long silver.
Okay, so you're long silver, and you're looking still, though, for one more big pullback. Is that pullback coming to silver as well?
It should probably come to silver, too. The question is whether we'll make a new low in silver. I'm not so sure that we will. I do strongly believe we'll make
a new long gold,
a lower low in gold.
This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show's expert, CMT. Make sure you check out his website, DemeterResearch.com. Matt, as always, thank you so much, brother.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to be here.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, LibertyTalk.fm. You get the download of guys like Matt, and you get to hear what he's got to say at any time. And make sure you go help us out, LibertyTalk.fm, the Bubba Show, and the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.